Welcome, Bill Henry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Bill Henry Show. Boy, thank you for the response, Margaret. Great response to your singing, although I know there was that one lady, Ebony Jones, there on Facebook who said that she thought your singing was just rancid.
Well, you know something? I saw those comments, and Ebony, I'd like you to know, darling, you know, don't get between a dog and his meat, okay?
Whatever that means.
Let me tell you what it means there, Mr. Dickman. It means I'm a singer, and when Ebony tried to step between me and song by saying that I had a very... You know what? You're jealous.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
What else do I need?
Yeah, that lady had a point.
Oh, you know, you are really two-faced.
I have to agree with Margaret there, bud. What are you all of a sudden two-faced about? You were saying, oh, you know, her singing was good, and then, you know, and now all of a sudden you're siding with this lady?
Well, you can't say it was good.
I thought it was very good, Ms. Gray. I thought it very good.
Well, I appreciate the kudos, young man, but I know it was good. I know it was good because I'm a professional. Let's just pretend, as we usually do, that Bud isn't here, and I'm addressing the lady. I said what I wanted to say. On to the next piece of business, please.
All right, fine. That's as it should be. Anyway, welcome to the program. But we did get some good response, and we also would like to congratulate Rick Anderson, who won the shot glass. It was his suggestion of singing the sunshine, or whatever the hell that thing was. What was the name of that?
Whatever the hell that thing was.
That the name of it?
No, I'm repeating. Are you kidding?
Well, I don't know the name of it. What was it called?
We'll Sing in the Sunshine. Gail Garnett, or Gail Garnett. And she is a native of New Zealand. I believe she's still alive. She's 72. I saw a picture. Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Okay, but we got to move on.
Hold on. I saw a picture of her with a group called Something Rain, Golden Rain. Is he laughing at what I think he's laughing at?
You're laughing at Golden Rain, right?
Hey, man, don't do that. Don't do that.
Bud, you're going to get your ass kicked right out of the gate. Stop it. And don't be laughing like a little kid at Golden Rain.
Why are they going to call it Golden Rain?
Because they don't have garbage between their ears. They're thinking of something other than what you're thinking of. And yes, what I thought of very briefly, only because I have been very experimental in my life.
Okay, Margaret, that's fine. You don't have to make it worse. So the name of the group was what?
I'm not me.
So I'll take over. Gail Garnett.
Excuse me, I'll do it. Gail Garnett. And the group was called Golden Rain, and I won't even look at Bud Dickman. And she looked absolutely stunning in the miniskirt she was wearing.
So in other words, that whole thing about her having a big ass?
Well, it's what I assume because of the size of the dress. She wore one of those large ballooning dresses that you, well, not you, but that people wore in the 60s.
Maybe Mr. Henry did wear it.
That's right, Robert. I wore a big ballooning dress in the 60s.
God, Robert, you trying to get fired or something?
Well, I didn't mean it that way, sir. Never mind. I take it back.
Don't have to call me sir. It's okay. You're making a joke? You're making a joke, you know?
No, I don't know. I thought it like a hippie thing.
No hippie guy. Guys didn't... Hippies, let me tell you something about hippies. Hippies are the most sexist... They were the single most sexist group. Hippie men were total sexists.
What do you mean?
Well, Margaret, didn't you tell me that you had... you ran with a group of kids at Pennsylvania?
Well, yes, I did, but we were very, very progressive. Very progressive. And I would not allow... Let me tell you something, just so you... This is between you and me and the fence post, all right? I wouldn't... What are you looking at?
What does that mean about a fence post?
It's a saying, bud, okay? That's all I'm gonna... Just a saying.
Just between you and me and the fence post. Don't look at me like that.
Margaret, don't get distracted, okay?
What?
He's giving me the squint look like, huh?
Yeah, you don't know what fence post...
Yeah, I don't know what it means either.
Would you tell them to quit squinting and looking at me like I'm retarded?
Would you?
I'm sorry, and looking at me like I am misshapen or...
Okay, would you guys quit staring at her?
What does she mean about fence post?
It doesn't concern you right now. Go ahead.
She looked fabulous, is what I was trying to say about Gail Garnett and the Golden Rain, and it was a folk group, and I'm sorry I brought it up.
All right, anyway, Will Singin' the Sunshine was requested by Rick Anderson, and he wins a shot glass. We're going to find out tonight, and we will find out, don't worry, who was that? Because I didn't have time to look at it last night. Who suggested, what was the other one?
This Magic Moment, beautiful song by Jay and the Americans, or Jay and the Americans, or Jay and the Americans.
Can we maybe dispense with all of that, you know?
Dispense with what?
All of that, the French pronunciation is driving me nuts. Now, I want to get to the first story here of the night here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. First of all, we're going to have Jack I. Gagner on with us tonight. No comments, please. Let me just get this tease out before we get into a discussion.
Fine.
Jack I. Gagner, who is the play-by-play man of the Milwaukee Lions. As you know, the Lions games are carried on Phil TV. The audio, WANG, Wang Radio Audio, is carried on Phil TV. They had a game in Tucson Tuesday night, last night, because the Hillbilly Football Conference plays on Monday nights. They moved it to Tuesday because of the storm and because of problems they were having. But then, of course, it falls on election night. It might have held down the radio listening. It didn't hold down, I don't think, the crowds. What was the...
I think they're playing a Tucson Tequila.
Yeah.
Well, they get a good crowd on account of they're good.
Okay, well, the Tucson Tequila, they were playing there in Tucson. And in any event, something happened during the broadcast, and it didn't really happen during the broadcast. This was a commercial that was cut and inserted into the broadcast that apparently had gotten by censors or any of the program directors, and it was Jack in this commercial session with Tutch Gerber and his mother, Edna Gerber.
Now, I know Edna Gerber, and I know what happened, all right? So you've already got me ready to go out and commit murder, you see?
I don't have you doing that.
No, you're right. But the fact that you're going to have this man... I know Edna Gerber. I know what a wonderful woman she is.
All right, well, hold on. Ms. Gerber is a part owner with the Milwaukee Lions. Her son, Tutch, which I believe is... Yeah, obviously it's a nickname.
What's his real name?
I don't know. Stan or something like that.
Stan? Man, no wonder they call him Tutch.
You gotta be Tutch. Don't I have a name like Stan?
Well, unfortunately, whoever gave him the name Stan was the one that was touched, but he's the guy that got the nickname. In any event, during a commercial session for, I don't know what it was, but it made it onto the air, Jack assaulted both Ms. Gerber and Tutch Gerber and has been suspended by the Milwaukee Lions. So he was not on Lions Line tonight. It was hosted by Larry McKinney, who's the color commentator for the National Hillbilly Games, and... that download will be available tomorrow. The live Lions-Lion game did, Lions-Lion radio show did air. We're going to have Jack on, okay?
Well, I don't know what he's going to say to defend himself. I heard the tape of what happened.
Yes, and by the way, folks, we will play the tape for you tonight as to what happened. We've had to bleep it extensively. It was quite devastating.
Now, listen to that, I can't believe it. And all I got to say is that Tutch Gerber, man, that kid, he'd ask him for it.
No young man asks for that.
No, I agree with Margaret. I agree with Margaret. And I have to say, it was an extreme and unbelievable assault, and Jack needs help, okay? Because I don't know, I don't care what happens in life, I don't care how angry people get you, what he did during the broadcast of that football game, what he did in that commercial session that eventually made it into the broadcast. I'm going to have to ask Jack. I don't know. But that's what I heard Larry McKinney say on the show.
What did he say? He said it was a tape record?
He didn't. Earl Cooch did, the producer.
Earl Cooch, Earl Cooch has hit on me repeatedly for the last 10 years. He can't say no for an answer. He can't take no for an answer. He puts his greasy hands on me, and I'll tell you, the next time he does that, I'll be damned if some... slime like Earl Cooch is going to put his greasy paws on me. I'd rather take that watch and put it right up, you know.
So what are we doing here? Pulp, what is this, Pulp Fiction?
What?
No greasy so-and-so is going to put his hands...
I didn't know I was quoting Pulp Fiction.
Well, what's the watch got to do with it?
Yeah, that's right, on Pulp Fiction, on account of going to put it right up his butt.
You know, I... You
going to go to the toilet?
Yes, I'm going to the toilet, all right? Everyone, I'm going to the toilet.
Good, fine, great. She's going to the toilet. Another big announcement.
Well, it's the only refuge I have.
Margaret, you're just going to have to tough it out sometimes. We're going to be right back, folks. Jack I. Gagner joining us with all of the details on what happened between himself, Tutch Gerber, Edna Gerber, during the Milwaukee Lion broadcast or in that commercial session or whatever. We will play for you the recording of that incident next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're very happy to have online with us here Jack I. Gagner, play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions. And I don't mean to be a smartass here, Jack, but I should say for how much longer, we don't know.
You know, stuff, Phil, if I were you, I wouldn't worry about that because I can safely make this prediction. There's no way that the Milwaukee Lions are going to sever their relationship with me because if they do that, they are just another nothing football team on the landscape of the football, the different football leagues, you know.
All right, and that's spoken very honestly.
I got to speak honestly. I've been a play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions now for a long time. You know, Brett and I started working together. Brett Morrison, you know, he started working together in the late 70s when Steve Packer was the coach and when the team was, you know, the team was challenging for AFL 2 championships. They made it to the championship game one year. And those were some pretty heady times. And, of course, we had a great time. But the more important thing is that that Brett and I, you know, we saw this team through some pretty bad times, too. And this ownership group of the current Milwaukee Lions doesn't get it. They don't get it.
Well, what don't they get?
They don't get the passion that the fans have for this team. I have been very unhappy with the moves they've made in terms of personnel. When you take a look at Miami, they just got Kevin Dinkerink as a quarterback, as the number one rated free agent going into the seventh week of the season. You can't sign anymore. No more trades, no more free agent signings. And we picked up an offensive lineman. I think Solander Gomez is great. But the real money players was Dinkerink is one of them. A couple other quarterbacks were taken, a couple other running backs, and we didn't make the move. We didn't pull the trigger on that.
All right, but Jack, I got to get to what happened in the game.
Well, all of this is part and parcel of that.
No, I understand that, but this was something that happened in the ball game. Now, the first thing I have to ask you, when did this happen?
That's the other thing. Larry McKinney Larry's a nice guy. He's about as stupid a guy as has ever been allowed to work a professional football game. And to listen to Larry tell it, he was the greatest quarterback that ever played for Milwaukee. Larry McKinney is an imbecile.
Well, Larry, okay, so we've established that. Larry McKinney's the guy that said this happened in a recording session.
What sense does it make for that to... Now, first of all, Larry didn't say that. Earl Coote said that. And,
well, all right, so you should be blaming Earl.
No, I don't blame Earl because Earl is just a producer. Larry ought to know. Earl thought it was in a commercial session. It wasn't in a commercial session. This is something Larry should have picked up on. That happened during the game. That happened during the game.
What? Why did that kid, why was he on mic? Okay.
That was a piece of music that was going to be used for a live read for Indian gaming casino. Out, I forget where, Whitefish Bay or somewhere outside of Milwaukee, okay? I was going to do 360-second spots and was going to be in the Milwaukee Lions football game. Now the music plays. Now all of a sudden, this kid is at the microphone.
Where were you?
I was reaching back. I'd actually gotten up and gone back to a bag that I had that had some water in it. Because I asked Susie Bernus, who is the production assistant, I said, Susie, is there any water? And she went, I didn't see where she was, so I just got up to go get some water. And you know Susie, we call her Flimsy, you know, it's a nickname for her.
Flimsy Bernus, yeah.
All right, so now this kid, as the music fires, the kid's there, and he's making these comments. And I got to tell you, Phil, at that point, I did what I felt was the right thing to do. I was going to squeeze. I wasn't going to kill him. I was trying to just squeeze the air out of him so it would knock him unconscious and he would drop to the floor. Now, you know, you can think what you want, Dan.
All right, let's listen to it because we have it.
Now, I know you got it, but I want to give you some of the, what do you call, the context.
All right. Here's Jack I. Gagner. This is, Jack, I'm going to put you on hold here. I know you can hear it on hold. Have you got that, bud?
Yeah, got Jack I. Gagner squeezing it.
What do you mean squeezing it?
We're talking about squeeze touch.
Yes, this is Jack I. Gagner as he encountered Touch Gerber at the beginning of this commercial break, and here's how the whole thing, it's the funny thing about it, is the whole thing is 56 seconds. It's almost like it was meant to be. So here is Jack I. Gagner and the incident in the booth.
You hear this? This
is going. All right, let's start this all over again because I think you got the EQ wrong on that, bud.
Oh, yeah. I rolled off all the high end.
Yes. Go ahead and hit it again.
You hear this? This is called a flute. I bet you Jack I. Gagner plays this. My name's Tucker. Or, I mean, not, no, what's my name? Oh, yeah, it's Touch Gerber. And it's...
Die, you little bastard. Die.
Unhand my son. Unhand him.
Get out of here.
Unhand him.
Just because I've seen you playing flute.
That's exactly right.
Well, you said that I had a hand in my mouth.
Well, watch this. What?
What are you doing?
Ooh, ooh. Take your out of my voice.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
I said to take your... What are you doing? What?
Yeah. 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 Oh, we're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so there is the... Turn that fan off, if you wouldn't mind there, bud, so we can get Jack back on the air. So you just heard what transpired there. I got to tell you something, Jack. Listening to that, it almost sounds like it was a joke.
It was shocking to know that we was on the air, so I think both myself and Ed tried to straighten our clothing.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Was that an actual... Was that non-consensual?
Well, this is the other thing that the Lions don't understand. First of all, the quick answer?
Give me the answer.
Yes, it was consensual.
What is that about, man?
Well, hold on. Whoa there, sunshine. Hold on for just a minute, okay? Yes, it was consensual. Yes, it was freaky. Yes, it was something that no one's going to understand. But it happened. That the mic was on, that we just fell into it, that, of course, is something that should not have happened because we had a commercial to do. But when the three of us got into the confines of that booth, I was angry. It suddenly was very exciting. I don't want to go into it. My wife, Patsy, I love her very much. She knows that I'm kind of a unique guy. Edna Gerber is going to straighten this out with the Milwaukee Lions. That's why I said to you that there's no way the Lions fire me.
Okay, so why were you suspended?
I was suspended because the outrage that had come out over the outrage that had come out after was so heavy and strong that the Lions thought the best thing was for me to go off the air. Now, when I heard Larry McKinney doing a show, I got upset.
Yeah, I know you did. I heard you giving him a hard time.
You better believe it, because there's not on this planet, not on any planet in our solar system, and not in this life, but maybe 6-7 lives down the pike, if you believe in the Buddhist version of reincarnation, that then maybe Larry McKinney qualifies to sit in my chair and do my show. And that's what pissed me off more than anything else. Not Touch Gerber. He's a punk. That guy, you know, I could drop him out of an airplane over Lake Michigan, and he wouldn't be missed for years. Edna, she's a lot of fun. She's a nice rolling... Well, I better not say it.
Rolling the hay?
All right, let the record show you said that.
You are a married guy, man.
Yes, I am a married guy, and my wife loves me very much. But, well, you know something, Phil? Don't get into things you don't understand.
All right, well, maybe I don't understand it, but what you're telling me here is this was a sex act that took place voluntarily between three people, Edna Gerber and her son, and you.
Yes, that's right. And I would hasten to add Don't judge what you don't understand. I don't like hearing that music in my ear. It makes me sound like I'm going to get cut off.
You are.
Well, that's no fair.
All right, hang on. We'll get more from Jack I. Gagner when we come back. And we'll probably have Touch Gerber weighing in. Dr. Jim Sadler, of course, on the psychological implications of this and more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So Larry McKinney is about as stupid a bastard as... Are we on the air?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Great.
Phil Hendry.
Saved by the bell again, Larry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jack I. Gagner is needed elsewhere, we are told, and it's probably a better thing because Margaret Gray has rejoined us here, and I know that you didn't want to have too much to say to him.
Well, I had no problem saying anything to him, but you seem to think it was wise that I didn't.
Okay, yes, I do, because I don't need a second-level argument going on. Jack's dealing with something that's already very bizarre, very weird. And let me put it this way, you know, good luck to him.
Well, I will agree with one thing. Jack I. Gagner has inserted himself, if you'll pardon the expression, because I know that were Jack here, he would take the opportunity to magnify the comment, insert himself, to expand on it, if you'll pardon that expression, to make it bigger than it should be, if you'll pardon even that expression. And I'm listening to that. I don't know. Why do you have that slot on?
Excuse me, Margaret. You know, it's Dean Wheeler who's going to talk about the presidential election.
Why is she singing?
Get yours on her singing.
Okay, just hold on. Dean Wheeler joining us. Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I feel just doing fantastically, and we're celebrating President Obama's victory here. I don't mean to rub it in to your many conservative listeners, which is what talk radio really is all about. I have to tell you, Phil, since the victory by President Obama, I have encountered the most sour, resentful, immature people that I've ever encountered in my life, and they're all Republicans. They cannot be good Americans. I think it proves that Republicans are really not at the very heart and soul good Americans when they cannot stand up like men and women and accept the fact that they lost an election. I heard Karl Rove, and, you know, you'll notice, can I just point something out here, Phil? Phil, can I point something out?
Go ahead, yeah.
You'll notice I'm ignoring the horn player. I'm ignoring everything that's going on tonight with Emeralda and her band because I will not let anything ruin a beautiful night tonight, which is the victory of Barack Obama.
Let me get back to this comment you made about you've encountered the most immature people.
Absolutely, Phil.
You're talking about Republicans.
Oh, the Republicans that I have talked to since since President Obama clinched the presidency of the United, you know, of all of America, the United States, and the territories, and that was another question we had. I just think I'm trying to keep myself thinking and I'm trying to keep my mind active so I don't pay any attention at all to what Emerald is doing on the stage and that horn player who, if I got to look at him one more night. Please, God, save me from a homicide charge. Save me from a homicide charge.
All right, hold on, man. Why don't you get out of that room if it's that serious?
It's not serious. I don't like the way he's looking at her ASS, okay?
And have you said anything to him?
Yes, I said to him, yes, I did. But I guess you probably don't think it would be enough.
What did you say?
I said to, she's just coming off the bandstand now, Phil. Nice going, baby. Hey, Emeralda, I'm over here. Hey, look at that. She's ignoring me. She's getting the plaudits of the crowd. How do you like this? Are you going to do another number, honey? Honey? I went over to him and I said, my wife's got a nice ass, doesn't she? And he said, well, as long as you brought it up, yes, she does. So I thought that was rude. And
well, wait a minute, man. You walked the guy right into that.
Yes, I know that, but any guy with any class would have said, well, Mr. Wheeler, I don't really want to comment. She's your ass. I mean, that's your ass, not your ass. That's her ass that belongs to you. Well,
That's not a very progressive comment to make.
Now hold on, hold on just a second there, Phil. Don't get too ahead of yourself. I said that she's whispering. Hold on.
I'm going to hang up, Dean.
Hold, just in the name of God, Phil, hold on. I'm trying to hold a marriage together. Yeah, she's whispering. You know who told her to whisper?
Let me guess, the horn player?
How'd you know that?
Well, I don't know. Just a wild guess.
Yeah. Hey, Bergie? Bergie, Mr. Hendry on the radio, he knows even that you're the one that got her to do the whisper. Yeah. Yeah, how'd you like to wake up some morning and find a big wad of American cheese in that horn? You don't think so? I'm what?
Will you get back on the phone here, please?
Sorry, I'm sorry, Phil. So anyway, the most immature people that... Oh, wait. What is this? I got a small hair in my mouth. What is that about? Wow. Boy, I must have had a good afternoon. I can't even...
Okay, that's fine, man. I mean, what are you talking about?
I apologize, Phil. That was wrong. Oh, wait, I've got a goatee. Okay. Phil...
What is wrong with you tonight, man? You were very distracted.
I'm distracted by a great victory by President Obama, and I found a small hair in my mouth, and I thought for a moment that I'd had a great afternoon, and no, I hadn't. I have a goatee. It was from my mustache, okay? All right? Is it all right for a man for just 2 seconds, maybe even a half a second, to feel like maybe he had a good day, only to find out, no, I didn't, and I got a horn player, that I'm going to have to do something with that horn. If I don't do something to him, I got to do something to either one. And the fact...
Okay, you know something? I'm not talking to him.
Well, Phil, I wanted to hear more about President Obama.
Well, you weren't going to hear it from him. You weren't going to hear anything from him. That guy is going on and on and on and on about the horn player and about his wife's ass.
That, you know something? I really am disappointed that you treat women like a piece of meat.
I didn't say that. He did.
Dean Wheeler is a progressive Democrat. Now, you know that, Phil. Why do you attribute to him...
Look, Margaret, he's the guy that said he's got an issue with a horn player who's looking at his... I can't believe it.
You know something? This is why I know that at your heart and soul, you are a reactionary, a patriarchal, Stone Age man. You think it's real funny that Dean Wheeler is suffering so behind the actions of a woman who is ignorant of her own captivity. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you stunned, because hold on for just a minute.
That's the dumbest thing!
You better shut it up, bud, because last night was just a taste of what I can do.
You put your high heel into that kid's you-know-what. Back off, will you, Margaret?
What is your problem with Dean Wheeler?
My problem with Dean Wheeler was nothing. I had him on to talk about Obama. Next thing I know, he's distracted once again by the wife who's up on the bandstand singing some jazz. The horn player's checking her ass out. Dean's the guy that is making the issue out of this. I'll bet you anything. I got money that says that horn player probably isn't the least bit interested in Dean's wife. And I think he's got psychological problems, if you want my honest opinion.
That is absolutely like a conservative, a neocon, to say that a liberal must have mental problems if he has some affinity for Obama.
No, there's nothing with Obama. The problem that I've got with him is the fact that he's mental about that wife.
Yeah, just talking about it, everything.
Who's talking to you?
I'm talking to him. What did you want to say, bud?
I'm saying that when he seen the horn player... Then he wanted to put a wad of cheese in it, too.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He wanted to put a wad of cheese in what?
In a horn.
And what's that got to do with anything?
If we're talking about a guy that is so distracted...
No, hold on. I'm asking him. You want him in the conversation? Now go ahead, answer, bud.
Well,
just remember what you said. Slow down. Say it. She's going to want to, she wants to see you fail, man. You don't want to fail.
No.
Just slow down. Say it out.
What are you, coaching him?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Well... The wad of cheese.
Yeah.
Just don't pay no attention to her.
The wad of cheese that you want to stick in a horn. And that, to me, shows, like Mr. Henry was saying, that that he's afraid of everything.
Yay! Oh, that was so good.
Margaret, don't mock him, okay? You're scaring him. You're staring him up and down. You put a high heel into his groin last night.
He was... Are you kidding me? He was begging for it. He was asking for it. We got outside after he made some smart-ass comment. What did I say to you, bud?
You said you really want $300 worth.
Exactly. I said, so you really want $300 worth? And he said every penny. And he didn't say it like that. He said it like Scorpio in that movie. He said, every penny, like he'd had his face beat in.
Yeah, well, I just thought you were joking.
Okay, so we've got the history of you beating him half to death last night, okay?
Last night?
I misspoke, okay? And thank you, bud, for laughing at that.
Well, you know, when you tee it up and she hits it out.
In any event, Mr. Wheeler is a progressive. He is celebrating Obama's victory. That's fantastic. But as he got distracted throughout that, with the wife, with the horn player, and then this whole series of comments about, I found a small hair in my mouth. I must have had a good afternoon. What is that?
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, grow up.
Well, what does that mean?
Are you serious?
Dear, I'm going to give you, I'll give you a hint, okay?
Would you...
Sorry.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, so that's why I say the guy's mental. So to make a series of comments like that is unbelievable. And to then follow it up with, he continued with this whole thing about the wife. I can't have this guy on my show any longer if he is going to continue to be distracted. I don't mind him there with the wife, but and I don't mind him listening to his own wife. Obviously, that's what he wants to do. Who do we have on the line here?
Rudy Clemenza, Mr. Clemenza.
Hello, Phil.
Yeah, Rudy, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Listen, the comment of the small pubic hair. No. Take a bet. He did not say that. He said a small hair.
Yes, he said a small hair.
He said a small hair in his mouth, but what he was referring to, and I heard Potipin as he tried to put it in the most inelegant way.
Yeah, tried to do what?
You tried to put it in the most inelegant way.
Did it what?
You know, he's trying to... He's doing that, isn't he?
Rudy, yes. This is Margaret Rudy. How are you?
Oh, I'm so happy to speak to you, Margaret. I heard you on the radio, and I let me say to you that as a mother, as a woman... La, 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 la.
Oh, God, thank you. That is a very wonderful compliment. That is... Thank you so, so much.
Boy, I gotta tell you, that's...
It's what?
It's a South American custom, Phil.
That's exactly right. So when Bud said to you that he was trying to explain to this man, the Dean Wheeler, and the Wheeler said he had a small hair in his mouth, he must have... What he was thinking of was the... You see?
Yes, I got that. I understand that. Bud did it.
Yeah. No.
Bud did not do it. Rudy's calling in to give you the proper intonation. Go ahead, Rudy.
Thank you, Margaret.
Oh, well, go ahead, Rudy.
Don't be jealous, Phil.
I'm not jealous. Will you let me conduct the interview here, Margaret?
Look at the big green-eyed monster come out on you.
No, not jealous at all. Go on, Rudy.
Go on what?
Go ahead. Explain the whole...
What I was saying was that Bud said... you know, he sound... Bud, I know that he went through a tree. I know that his brain underwent terrible trauma. I know there's a plate in his head. And you have to understand that when you ask a man with a plate securely attached to his skull, when a man is made up of part bone, part metal, when a man has not only a head, but he has a metal head, his head is made of metal. You cannot ask a man like this to approximate the love and the honor and the cherishment that a man would give to a woman without it sounding as if the emotion and the feeling is being directed through a metal field, you see. So that is, I think, when Bud wants to say, ah, la, 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 it comes out like that, you know.
You know, I got to tell you something, Rudy. I've heard you on our show talking about different ways of making this Argentinian sound. In one instance, you will say, here is what you say to a woman when you really love her. Go ahead. Would you mind?
Would I mind what?
Phil, are you going to have him perform like a trained monkey?
Will you let me talk, please?
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's right. Okay, Rudy?
So what do you want me to do?
Give me the sound when you say to a woman you love her.
That would be... La, 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 la.
Okay. Give me the sound when you want to say to a woman she's a wonderful mother.
I can run through this stuff. You don't have to go through it slow like it's romper room. You know, you want me to run through here? If she's a wonderful mother, it's... La, 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 la. If she is great in bed, it's... Blah, blah. If you simply want to have the sex of the afternoon, you want to take the afternoon for to have the sex, you say... See?
And... Okay, so that sounds exactly like Bud.
How dare you... Did you really say that?
Yeah, it does sound like me.
Did you? No, I'm talking to Mr. Did you really say that?
I'm very outraged.
It sounded like Bud.
So you're saying to me, Rudy Canosa, a man you've known for years, a man you respect, that I am nothing more than some kind of a street urchin, some kind of a softhead, someone who belongs on the first floor of a mental ward?
Why what's the first floor?
They only put the nuts on the first floor because they don't want them to jump from the window, you know.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you're saying, though?
No.
Well, that's exactly what it felt like to me when you said, I gave you, this is what you said to a woman if you want to have the sex for one night. You say, now the other.
Why are you constantly hanging up on people, Phil? That really angers me.
You can't hear what a jackass that is. Boo!
That's not how you do it.
Yeah, he done it better.
Oh, did he done it better? Oh, okay. Well, we'll get him back on the line. I'm the only guy tonight, folks, that's got any brains intact. The rest of these people are flipping their lids. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, post-election analysis coming up. We will do a little bit. We've got Larry Grover. We also have Don Berman. We've got a whole lot of people scheduled to appear here as we take a look at the postmortem, the election postmortem, and also this whole stock market thing we've got to talk to you about because it's blown way out of proportion. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Do you want to go and have a flapjack? If you want to say to a woman, you want.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, online here at philhendryshow.com as well. And again, we have a little bit of the election night coverage to conclude with. All kinds of stuff was discussed over the last, let's say, 24 hours. All kinds of things have been discussed over the last 24 hours. Since the election has concluded, why did the Republicans lose? Why did the Democrats win? What was important to different groups of voters? And I, you know, my job as a guy here on the radio, a talk show guy on the radio, is not to be to be right. I don't think that's my job. My job is to just talk about interesting crap if I can and do it in an interesting way.
Well, why do you call it crap?
Because it is crap, for the most part.
Do you mean crap? Talk about America.
I know we're talking about America, but some of the things we talk about, I can't believe that grown adults waste their time on it. I can't believe that grown adults waste their time on some of the stuff that we talk about. And I'll give you an example. You know, what do the Republicans got to do to win an election? This has been the discussion here over the last 24 hours. What is the Republican Party about? What is the Republican Party lacking? What didn't they do right? And when I heard them say the following thing, and I did hear this guy, Bob, whatever the hell this guy is, the governor of Virginia, this guy's a real, I don't like him at all. And this was his simple-minded, well, we got to just, you know, it's our message. He's saying it's the non-answer answer when he says, we got to reach out to people we haven't reached out to before. Well, he's right about that. And we have to do a better job at selling our message. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. If you're selling dog turds, I don't care who you got making the pitch.
Grow up.
Hold on, bud. If you're selling dog turds, I don't care how much better you make the pitch. And
well, can I be the devil's advocate here?
Go ahead.
Are they selling, when the Republicans say they want less government and they want more private sector money and they want more jobs, is that a dog turd?
Well, wait. That's not all, though. Because I heard that guy, Bob McDonnell or O'Donnell, whatever the hell that guy in Virginia, he's one of the worst, because this guy is one of the reasons, he doesn't know it, but he's one of the reasons why they lost. This guy cannot get off of the social conservative issues of pro-life and of no gays and all of that stuff that conservatives and Republicans never used to represent. And when I brought up Barry Goldwater being the founding father of modern conservatism, which he is, and to listen to some of these brain-dead imbeciles that call themselves conservatives now disrespecting Barry Goldwater, here was a guy that didn't care whether there were gays in the military. Barry Goldwater couldn't believe that we were even having that discussion. He says, what's that got to do with being a conservative? And when you brought that up to modern conservatives, these pea brains would actually disrespect them like they know better. I haven't talked to one of these idiots, not a one, that's come up with anything more original than what Barry Goldwater originated, which was essentially government off the backs of the little man, more money into their pocket, less money, less government, less government. Now, understand, Barry Goldwater wasn't all squeaky clean when it came to social issue. He wanted to leave up the issue of civil rights to the states. Bad move.
What are you talking about? It's called a state right.
I don't give a damn if it's called state rights. It's the worst thing you can do, leaving human rights to the state level. If they get it wrong, Jack, then where do you go? You got to go to the federal sooner or later. All right, we'll take a break here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're not going to talk about this, are you?
I'm going to. Never mind.
Yeah, Phil, it's Larry Grover. I just called in. Can you give me some idea what you're taking my phone call?
I don't think I will, Larry.
Oh, that's not fair. I've got many.
Phil Hendry.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 877-876-7445 is our number. Hello, America. On the line this hour is Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about gun safety and if you are a gun owner, they are checking right now. They're getting checked out on a range in the South Bay of Southern California. We're going to be talking with Jay, and we'll be there with him. We will be on the range with him and other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as they are taking target practice and, I guess testing their proficiency with their firearms. Not only are we here at 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show here as a talk show, you can also join us online at philhendryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, you can listen to archives. You can watch or listen to our live feed each and every night, which is a video cast. You can get the podcast the next day. It's automatically delivered to your device from our website. You can subscribe to it right there. You can, what else can you do? You can comment in our comment section. It gets pretty rowdy in there sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's all chill. It just depends. You can use the email that allows you to contact us here directly as a backstage pass holder. And that also allows you to vote on certain bits that we like to include in our Best Of series. In fact, we are compiling a Best of Bobby Dooley download that should be out next month, and our Backstage Pass members are the people that are picking that for us, just as they did the Ted Bell Best Of. So do it at philhendryshow.com with a Backstage Pass, and check it out. You can sign up right there. By the way, episode 23 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast is out and about starting tomorrow. It might be online right now, as a matter of fact, Bud. Did you see?
Yeah, it's all right. You can look at it right now on if you go and to the banner.
Go to the banner on our homepage at philhendryshow.com. You'll see the podcast banner. That'll take you directly to where you need to go to get the podcast. You can also get it at iTunes. You can get it at Podcast Directory. Lots of places. All right, 877-876-7445. Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us from the South, from the South Bay. And you guys are over there at the River Club, right? Jay, is that near where you're located in Torrance?
Yeah, Bill, that's correct. The River Club is one of the more popular ranges. We've got six or seven right now. Our sub-commanders are out here getting checked out on their revolvers. Now, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency, which is very, we are professionals. We're not, carrying weapons because we are not licensed to carry firearms as a auxiliary police agency, but we do like our people to be checked out on them.
Why is that? If you don't carry them, are you allowed to?
Well, as individuals, we have licenses. One or two of us, myself, Sub-Commander Gleason, Sub-Commander Epcot, have conceal and carry permits. Some of us, are allowed to carry that way, but that's something that I don't think, I want to talk about right here. I can just assure you, we don't come with holstered weapons.
All right, if you guys are not out there with weapons as you do these patrol duties, and I can understand that being a volunteer agency, what are you checking these guys out for?
Well, we just want to know that there's not a lot of time, Phil, that I say to you, gee, you know what, Phil, I can't answer that question, but I guess that it would be better if I just said that.
That's going to make me suspicious in my listeners.
Well, I don't want to make you suspicious. I don't want to make you, suspicious.
I was saying suspicious.
No, I understand that. I don't want to make you that way because there's nothing really to be, suspicious about. It's about the fact that I just want to know that our guys are proficient in the use of a basic service revolver, in this case, 38, a Smith & Wesson 38, and some of the guys have some of them have a long barrel, some of them like to use a snub nose. I personally prefer a snub nose.
And why is that?
I just like the feel of it. I like the way it looks, not because of any kind of, it's not that I like the way it looks because of any kind of, I want to look special or anything. It just, it looks, it looks good, and it looks good in the hand, and, if you drop a snub nose 38 on someone, they'll know that they've had it dropped on them. So, you guys already, we can give a demonstration here, Phil.
All right, so you guys are at the range. You all have 38s?
All the guys have 38s. I'm just going to guide a guy. Sub-Commander Gleason. You have the 38, Smith & Wesson 38? Let me just look at this. What is this? The hammer. It's a hammer. It was 38. All right. And over here, Sub-Commander Epkin. What's this?
Smith & Wesson special. It's a bodyguard 38. Same kind of snub nose you got.
That's right. It's not the same snub nose I have. My snub nose is, it's pretty badass.
Oh, okay. Fine. Whatever.
No, not whatever. All right. So let's go over to this next guy here.
What were you saying to him?
What's that, Phil? What's that, Phil?
What were you saying to that guy?
I was just saying he had a snub nose like me. He said he had a snub nose like me. And I said, are you talking about guns? Are you talking about, and a ha ha ha.
No, you didn't say that.
Hold on. I'm going to talk to the guy.
I didn't hear that exchange. What were you two guys saying about the guns, the pistols?
I was saying about a revolver, the service revolver, that his looks like mine. No, he said it looked like mine.
Yeah,
I said it looked like mine. I'm being interviewed on the radio, not you. I'm being interviewed on the radio, not you.
Right.
He said it looked like mine. I said, no, it doesn't. His has more of a silver barrel. Mine's all black.
Okay, fine.
So can I keep...
Go ahead.
All right, let me go over here to Sub-Commander Raymond. How you doing tonight?
Real good. My wife's going to have a baby.
Yeah, Sub-Commander Raymond's wife is due to have a baby here pretty quick, Phil. Maybe sometime tonight. Sub-Commander Raymond has a Smith & Wesson 38. Is it a chief special?
That's the number 36. I like it a lot, and it feels good in my hand, feels good in my slacks, when I put it down the slacks.
You say you put it down the slacks. That's because we don't use holsters, Phil. If you are licensed in the Citizens Auxiliary Police to carry a concealed weapon, I prefer that my guys just put it right in your pocket, or what we call slip it down your pants. And I think a lot of people have fun with that because they go, oh, we get it. It's like a phallic symbol. I go, no, it's not. But, we did that to make you think that because that's how childish some people are.
All right, so...
Right now, Phil, what we'll do is, all right, Sub-Commander Epkin, Sub-Commander Gleason, Sub-Commander Ellis, all right, they're all lined up. What we're going to do right now, Phil, is do just basic free firing into the targets down there. Target 4, Jimmy, if you could, okay?
Well, you did that last week, too.
All right, target 4, and we're going to demonstrate how our guys... Sub-Commander Gleason, you go right ahead.
You want me to do it myself?
Yeah, do it all by yourself.
No, I mean...
Just go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm still aiming.
You want to hit the middle of the...
I know. I'm aiming.
Go ahead.
I'm aiming.
Wait a minute, let me see this. Holy God.
Well, that's the one you said.
Oh, my God.
What?
He's got a pink hand... You got a pink handle on this? It looks like a penis. That's exactly what it looked like. Look at the gun that this guy... He's got a 38 special pink air white... Oh, man.
That's my wife's gun. I didn't have to...
Yeah, big. You believe that, Phil?
All right, why don't you guys quit making fun of each other's guns? You know, it's almost like standing in the shower when we're in high school looking at each other's penises.
Well, I mean, it's about as pink as... Well, I shouldn't say, but, you know.
Shut up.
Go ahead.
I gotta aim.
You've been aiming now for... God.
What's with your guys, Jay? I mean, don't they know how to aim?
Yes, they do know how to aim, but I threw him off because I noticed his pink gun. Go ahead.
Keep saying go ahead. That's what I'm doing. I'm aiming.
How long does it take him to aim?
How long is it going to take you to aim? The host of the radio show wants to know. The host of the radio show wants to know how long it's going to take you to aim. I don't know.
How's that?
Do it again. How was it, Jimmy?
He missed.
You missed the whole bullet. You missed the whole target. You have to try it again.
Missed.
Is he hitting the target at all?
What?
Is he hitting the target at all?
No.
You're not hitting the target at all. You're not knowing, not hitting no target nothing at all.
I'm trying.
God, are you kidding me? No wonder you guys don't carry guns.
No, no, no. Do it again. Wait till you hear us. We do a drill called...
God, you scared the hell out of me, you idiot.
You fired a thing near my ear, you jackball.
Bullseye.
What?
You got a bullseye.
Got a bullseye.
Deaf.
You are deaf. I'm deaf. Oh, God, I'm deaf. No, I can't hear nothing because Gleason fired it right near my right ear. Again, Gleason fired it right near my right ear. Can't hear a damn... Ah, yeah. Yeah.
Will you guys exercise some caution out there?
What?
Will you exercise some caution out there?
I'm sorry, I can't hear a thing you're saying.
Just go ahead, man. Just go ahead.
I can't hear you, Phil. I'm going to assume you want me to go ahead. So.
Well, actually, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking to him and his guys. They're out on the range.
Did you knock it off?
They're out on a gun range getting checked out. Here's the thing you ought to do, bud, is call them up. If you've got Jay's number, tell him... I don't know. Just tell him that, you know, find out how his hearing is. And we'll let him just go ahead and continue with this ridiculous target practice.
Well, that was only one guy. Maybe that's the only guy that don't know how to shoot.
Maybe that's the only guy that don't know how to shoot, huh? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us as he and members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a group of sub-commanders, and we have to explain, Jay, what a sub-commander is, and I don't think that that's a bad thing to have. You know, it's a very unusual rank structure you have.
I don't think it's all that unusual, Phil. We have, and by the way, my ear... My hearing's coming back a little bit, but I told Sub-Commander Gleason, who is very proficient, by the way, with that 38, I told him you don't fire it when a guy's ear is 2 inches away.
Well, why do you say he's proficient?
Because ordinarily he is a very good shot. I think being on a radio and he got nervous.
He took 2 shots and he missed the target entirely.
I understand that. I know. I was here. I was standing here. I'm the guy who lost his hearing.
No, but so why do you call that... proficient?
Because the last shot, right through the bullseye, which is what we've come to expect of him, he blew my hearing out. I thought for sure I'd lost an eardrum, but, you know, in the end, it all come out. But he's got to be careful. And
you weren't standing too close.
No, I wasn't standing too close. I mean, I might have been, but I'm not going to. You know, I am a brigadier admiral. That gets your question, by the way, if you want to get to that, or we can sit here and keep jawjacking and playing with it. And paddling that over, you know, whether...
No, Jay, there's no sense in being sarcastic. I simply wanted to know if what you call proficient.
Well, the other guys are chomping at the bit. They want to get going with their field test here and with their range test.
All right, so the question is command structure, or rather the rank.
Yeah, rank in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Phil, is pretty standard. It's the same as any military ranks. With two exceptions, we have used the rank of Brigadier Admiral, which is second in command to the overall rank of Major. Now, that's unusual. I understand that because there's no, like, for instance, there's no Major in the Navy, and there's no Admiral in the Army. But we wanted to mix the ranks to represent the Citizens Auxiliary Police can go anywhere, anytime, do anything they want, anytime. And so... In so doing,
meaning you guys are on land as well on sea as well as sea.
Yeah, in a way, yes. We handle where any of the. Why are you doing that? No, I'm still talking on the radio with Mr. Henry. I would appreciate it, gentlemen, if you would holster that weapon. Holster that weapon right now. That's where I tell him, Phil. That's. You hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I said holster that weapon. That's what we will say as police officers to holster that weapon, I told you. Do you hear me say that?
Oh, blow it out your ass.
What'd you say?
Blow it out your ass.
You just told me to blow it out my ass? Okay, Subcommander Whippington, is that you?
No.
Get out of here. Go on, get out of here right now.
I should pull breath.
Yeah, well, you know what? You holster that weapon. That's what you say, holster that weapon.
Yes, I understand.
All right. So, that was Subcommander Whippington, who we've just sent. He's got to sit in the van. You just sit in the car and you wait for me. So I sent him back to sit in the car just to...
It's kind of like a timeout, huh?
Well, you know, you're... Okay, is that a shot you're taking at us?
Well, no, it was a little joke.
Yeah, it is kind of a timeout, but it's not no kid thing. I mean, he's going to sit and reflect on what he done. That's all. All right, so basically what we were... With somebody, I want someone else to fire so I can say holster that weapon and let Mr. Henry hear how I... Yeah, holster that weapon! Here, that's what you say.
I got it. Holster that weapon.
Right, but you have to do with a commanding voice. Holster that weapon. Gosh, we're in so much to cover, so much ground to cover, Phil.
Well, you got some guys. You've already sent one to the car... For a timeout or whatever?
No, it wasn't no timeout. I wish you would not. You know, you make men who are committed to the safety of their community and have saved lives, you make us sound like we're a bunch of babies. You know?
Well, you sent him to the car to do what?
I sent him up to the car to reflect, yeah, on what he'd done. But that's not no baby timeout. This is real world, okay? This is real world.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
I said it's real world. Real world?
Real world.
That's right. Real. This is a real world. And what?
Coming up there, man. Can I get a drink?
Can you get a what?
Can I get a drink?
No, you can't get a drink. Go back to the car, Whippington. Whippington, come out of the car. He wants a drink.
What, a drink of water?
You're not getting no drink of water. All right. You're making it sound like a bunch of babies over here. I'm on a radio with the Phil Henry Show. Holster your weapon, too. All right, Phil. So, Subcommander is we have Major, we have Brigadier Admiral, we have El Capitan. These are very unusual sounding ranks, yes, but they are specific to a community policing. So that's why we have different ranks. You're not going to have no Captain, Major, this and that, because it's going to scare people. We have Brigadier, we have the Major Elvis Newton, we have Brigadier Admiral Jay Santos, then we have El Capitan. Then we have Major Domo. What is this? Yeah, Major Domo, El Capitan, Major Domo, Major. I forget what it's called. Major Sergeant and Sergeant Major, and
Major. What is Major Domo?
Major Domo is the same. It would be the same rank as Lieutenant.
And what's Major Sergeant?
That's the same as like a Sergeant Major, but we flip it around. See, we flipped it around. I can't say it good.
You flipped it around.
We flipped it around. Yeah. Flubbered around. I can't say it good. So we have Major Sergeant, and then we have Sergeant Staff. And that's a flip around of Staff Sergeant. And then we have Commander in Chief, and then Commander and Subcommander.
Well, I mean, and this is a rank structure that makes sense to you.
It, absolutely, Phil. It makes sense to us. It it enables cohesiveness in the ranks, and it just makes everyone feel chill, and everyone is, you know, filled with... I think everybody has... we're on the same... Holster the weapon! You there! Holster your weapon!
I holster my weapon.
Oh, my God, he had it hanging out. You holster that?
Yeah.
Sounds to me like you got guys that are just, like, not very disciplined, you know?
I understand.
I mean, if you're going to call guys Major Domo and Commander-in-Chief, what's a Commander-in-Chief?
That's like a, it's a substitute sergeant. It's like a private. Commander-in-Chief is a private first class. Commander is a private second class. And Subcommander is a private third class.
Because all I've ever heard you say is you got a lot of sub-commanders.
That's right. Because none of them have qualified yet to be no Commander-in-Chief or Commander. We hope, after we get done here on a firing range, we have some guys that can step up like men, go ahead and assume the rank of Commander or Commander-in-Chief, or, you know, hopefully Sergeant Staff. And
or maybe even Major Sergeant.
Well, now I can tell you're making fun, you know.
Well, it sounds a little stupid. And Major Domo?
That's a Major, and then Major Domo is Lieutenant. And
El Capitan is a Captain.
Right.
877-876-7445 here in the world famous Phil Henry. God almighty.
I told you holster it.
Anyway, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show will be right back with Brigadier Admiral Santos.
Come on, holster it.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They are checking out or qualifying, if you will, members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on a range in the South Bay tonight. It is the River Club, which is it's a firing range. It's a gun range where a lot of people go to gain proficiency in the use of firearms, which is what the Phil Henry Show would recommend, of course, to any and all who would be users of firearms. You must get training and qualify and become proficient with that use, and there's a lot of ways of doing it. Jay, what would you recommend besides, you know, being on a range?
Well, I think, you know, you can, I'm not sure I know what you mean, but in what sense? And
what would you recommend to the average person who is interested in gaining proficiency with a firearm?
Well, I don't know. You got to buy one. Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I... Yes, of course you got to buy one.
I mean, that the first thing you got to do is own one. That's where I thought you were going at. So go buy a gun. No.
Are you telling me that if someone who doesn't know anything about guns, the first thing they should do is buy a gun?
I'm not sure I understand. Of course, but...
What about going to a range and renting one, or finding a teacher?
Oh, okay. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just went and I bought a snub nose. See, I had been watching, and again, I wasn't influenced by television, but I did see a Private Eye show where a guy has snub nose, and I want to get it. So I got a snub nose. But yeah, you're also right. I did get, you know, tested on a proficiency and all that. So I did go get a snub nose, but I don't recommend people do that. I do recommend, well, I was going to recommend that you buy a gun, but you're right, Phil. You should first get better on, learn how to use one.
But you didn't do any of that.
No, I didn't do any of that. I bought one and played around with it, you know. And
what do you mean you played around with it?
Well, I mean, you know, I stood in front of a mirror and I was doing the twirling tricks and stuff like that. But I'm different, you know.
Yeah, you're sure different, man.
Well, Phil, you know, you can be a smart ass all you want. And
so you bought a snub nose. What'd you do?
I bought a snub nose and I did a bunch of twirl tricks. I was twirling around and that.
Did you put it in a holster?
Well, you're just trying to make me look like a complete ass. And
no, I'm asking you what you did so people will know what not to do.
I don't understand why you would be hostile at.
Didn't you just say don't do what I do?
Yes, I did.
All right, don't do what Jay did, which is to buy a gun, then stand in front of a mirror and twirl it around to see if you can do the. What do you mean?
But you're doing the twirl trick. And the reason why I did it is I knew, as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I was going to get proficient and get good at it. So I didn't need to do a lot of the steps that other people do. And
so when did you go get proficient?
The guys are here this week. When did I come out here?
Last week
I did. And
how long have you owned the gun?
Well, I've owned the gun for 2 years. And
so you only just last week did you go out and begin to get qualified on that gun? This is what I'm talking about.
But I'm different, Phil. I work on the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're about saving lives. And
it doesn't make any difference. What you're telling me is you're recommending do as I say, not as I do. You're recommending people go out and get training and get a teacher, and before you even consider buying any weapon at all, make sure you know how to use a gun. Make sure. And you didn't do any of that stuff.
Because I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
We're about saving lives.
Yeah, we're about saving. Go ahead. I'm going to go up and down the line. What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about? Say yes.
About saving lives.
Okay. What are we about?
About saving lives. What are we about?
About saving lives. What are we about?
About saving lives.
What are we about? What are we about? Oh, he can't talk, but he can sign it. Sign it. That's right. He just signed about saving lives.
Okay, I heard two guys in that line that sounded...
What?
The guy that can't speak?
He's fine. That's Jerry. Jerry, you're good, right?
Good, yeah.
He's doing sign language. Don't make any noises, Jerry, because it scares... Jerry, here, I'm going to check. We're going to make Jerry proficient, okay? What do you say, guys?
Hey, Jerry.
Woo! Yeah, let's do Jerry. And, let's do Jerry.
Let's do Jerry.
Hey, Jerry,
gotta
do you. Jerry just told us all to F off in deaf speak. So.
You know, this is very distasteful to me, Jay.
I'm sorry, Phil. It's just, we're police officers. We kid around kind of rough, you know? We don't mean nothing by it.
Yeah, you're police officers. You're volunteer guys that are firing weapons near people's ears.
Near people? What's a beeple? What's a beeple?
Cross between a beetle and a beeple.
See how quick my guys think? As soon as I said, what's a beeple, Sergeant Gleason had an answer.
That's great. That's great.
Well, you know, you may not think it's a big deal.
Okay. So,
Hey, Jerry. We're going to check Jerry out, Phil. Here is Jerry. And Jerry is one of our subcommanders. And, yes, Jerry is speech. He don't talk too good, but Jerry's speech impaired. But, Jerry, what kind of weapon do you have? Go ahead and sign. Do the sign language on it. Okay, you got a Smith & Wesson. Third model double action. That's a sweet. That is a sweet little. Isn't that a little honey? You like that, huh? It's a sweet one. All right. Go ahead and let it rip. And don't do it near my ear, whatever you do. All right, let it rip.
Yeah, 21.
That's 21.
Yeah.
Miss. That's two misses, but he got 21.
He got 21. What's that? What does that mean, he got 21?
Well, we're using targets that we bought over at, where's that target from, Bob? We got him at Toys R Us, but it's you got to understand something, Mr. Henry.
You got the targets at Toys R Us. Are these human-shaped? Are they...
Hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. No, it's a lawn dart target or something, but we got it at Toys R Us. You don't need to have no gun. You don't need to have no target. Don't shoot it yet, Jerry. Don't shoot it. Holster that weapon. Holster that weapon.
I can't hear you.
Oh, he can't hear me. Put the weapon up, Jerry. Here, give me the gun. All right, so Jerry, you suck. Go sit in the car with Withington. Go sit in the car. All right, so there's two guys in the car now.
So in other words, if they don't qualify, they go sit in the car?
Yeah, you got to sit in the car. And don't play the radio either. A lot of times they play the radio, they screw around. All right, who we got next here? EPCO. Okay, this is Sub-Commander EPCO. And Sub-Commander EPCO, what kind of gun are we talking about? What you got right there? All right, this is a long barrel. It's a Smith & Wesson long barrel. And it's a M917. It's a second model end frame. All right, you got an end frame there. That's nice, huh?
Right, and it's chambered for 45, though.
It's chambered for 45.
That's correct, yes, sir.
All right, go ahead and let her rip. Hold on, let me get out of the way here.
All right, so you're standing right in front of the...
Yeah, I was standing in front of the bullseye, Phil.
Bullseye! Bullseye! Bullseye!
Okay, that's three bullseyes, but, you know, I don't like the idea that's 45.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to give you a failing score because that's not a 38. And even though it is a long barrel, you know, you don't have a snub nose. You don't have no snub nose, huh?
Yes, I don't have a snub nose.
Sit in the car. All right, so that's three guys.
Why'd you send that guy to the car? He got three bullseyes.
I know, but he's got a 45 there. And I told him he's got, well, I didn't tell him, but it bothers me that they went out and they freelance that way, right? And he doesn't have a snub nose. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with him.
So they got to have a snub nose. Okay, I got to keep that in mind.
Why? Are you going to be a member of Citizens Dolls Area Police?
No, not at all. But I would, you know, I got to remember, you know, that you guys all carry snub nose.
Right. I don't worry. They got a long barrel. That's pretty nice. But yeah, the fact is, 45, it's no good. No good at all. All right, let's go to the next guy here. Now, this is Sub-Commander Bluton, and Bluton, I want to ask you a question here, because I'm not sure. What do you got there in your pants?
Well, this is kind of a semi. It's a Glock, and I know that I'm not supposed to, but it's sweet. It's sweet. Well, you see what it can do, too, because it's pretty sweet.
You know. All right. Let her rip.
What do you think?
Jesus, man, you whipped off a bunch of shots. Is that guy, you okay?
Yeah, apparently.
I thought that guy was dead. Do that again. Whoa! Good shooting, Phil. So I'm gonna pass him. And
you're gonna pass that nut, huh? I don't know how many shots I heard.
That guy, man, he was letting it all. He had him dancing down there. Make him dance. Go ahead. You want to hear somebody dance, Phil? Look at this. Make him dance. Woo! Yeah, make him dance. Dance, dance! I said dance. Yeah. Got him dancing. So that's really what we're talking about. And
so that's what you're talking about, huh? Just having a guy firing multiple rounds from a handgun. You said that was a Glock?
That's right. It's automatic. Semi-automatic. And it was a beautiful thing. It should have been here.
No, I could hear it. All right, Jay, hold the line, and we'll be back as you qualify members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know whether those guys are sub-commanders or if some of them are going to be promoted to commander or commander-in-chief or maybe even sergeant staff. We'll find out when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Let me see that gun. Let me see the weapon. Unholster that weapon. Yeah, that's bitching.
World-famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Sanis with us from the River Club, which is a shooting range. And you had a guy there who was... Now, let me talk to this other gentleman.
He's right here. Come in for a minute, will you, please? Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
This is Richard. Richard Mack, Mr. Harry. And the reason why I came over to tell these people to vacate our range because...
What is your name again, sir?
Richard Mack. Ricardo Mack. No, my name is Richard, not Ricardo, okay? And I told this man, Mr. Santos, and his citizens auxiliary police, I don't know who they are, to vacate this range now. The problem is, Mr. Henry, this guy comes over and starts telling me, you know, I've got to take all subcommanders. I told him that I already put two in the car. That doesn't mean anything for me. I'm talking to the man on the radio right now. I want to speak to this man.
Okay, you've been ordered off the range.
I understand that. We're going to be leaving. Okay, you know, you flex your muscle, you got your little power base going, you feel good about it? Do you feel good about it? Let me say something. That's my phone. I know it's your phone, but I'm talking on a radio right now.
Let the man, if that's his phone, I want to talk to him.
God, what a chip. Yes, sir.
All right, sir, Mr. Mack, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Santos and his officers have been told to get off the range.
You see, officers, I don't know if these men are police or not, but they had wearing a white hat, a white helmet, you know, a pith helmet. He said that's a uniform.
Yeah, they wear a pith helmet uniform.
But they look like, like six, retards standing.
All right. So who fired all those rounds?
This man over here. I don't know this man's name. I tell you, his name's Subcommander. Now, let me speak, okay? Subcommander what?
Subcommander Whitlock.
Subcommander Whitlock? You know his name?
No, I don't.
All right. He was the one that was firing his deeper rounds and almost killed, and I want to make this point, he almost killed the man who was target setting for us, Bill Ratko. And he almost killed him. And then they said to him, dance, or something like this, like they're playing some Wild West games. So that's why I came over to tell him you have to leave.
Right, I'll leave, you know, but I do want to speak to Mr. Henry one more time.
Why don't you tell him to get on his phone?
Mr. Henry said, for you to use your phone.
I don't want to use my phone because it uses up battery.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So, sir, we have asked them to leave. If they do not leave, then, of course, we're going to call the police.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm going to call in to
get my phone back, if you don't mind.
Well, all right, he said he's going to call in, bud.
Right. Yeah, let me use my phone. So we called the police.
He's right here.
Okay, Jay?
Yeah, first of all, we are the police.
Oh, you're not the police. You're not the police.
I know.
But we're the citizens' auxiliary police. I don't know what they mean to say you're citizens' auxiliary police. I want the real police.
You are real police? I am a police officer, okay?
Not if you shoot like you are a crazy man.
You know, Jay, can I jump in here? Jay.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're very nervous about guns these days. You know that, right?
Absolutely, Phil. We're really good, and we've good reason. And yes, we've good reason. And we've good reason, Phil, and that's why we're trying to be proficient.
Well, you're not getting proficient with some jackass firing off multiple rounds from an automatic gun, this automatic 9mm he had, and then he's firing single shots, and then this guy said he almost killed somebody.
No, he didn't almost kill anybody. Yes, you did. He almost killed. You said dance. That's different. We didn't kill him. We're aiming at his feet. And
you're aiming at a guy's feet, making him dance.
Yes. I mean, are you kidding me? Everybody knows that's one of the ways that you... It's one of the ways you get proficient. Everyone knows about that. I mean, I'm not saying like on a movies or anything, but you do have someone. You got to make a guy dance, don't you? Or
no, you don't. No, you don't. You can kill somebody that way.
How are you gonna kill him hitting him in the feet? See, that's the whole thing. We would not hit nobody in the feet. And
no, but you could bust. You know something, Jay? The cops are on the way there.
Yes, sir. The police officers are on the way, but these men have to clear out.
All right, we're leaving.
Yeah, I would suggest you get the hell out of there, man.
You know what I say? Get the hell out of here.
You don't mean that.
Get out of here. All of you. All of you. You too. The deaf mute. Take him.
Come on.
He don't want us around no more. I don't want any of you, you crazy freak. And take that other freak with you too.
Which one?
Yeah, that's a good point. So many of them. This one here. What's your name?
Come on.
What's his name?
I'm not going to tell you now.
What's your name?
Ralph.
I can't find out. His name's Ralph.
God, Ralph, what did you tell him your name for?
You see what I'm having to put up with? And this freak show started about 7 o'clock when these freaks come out of the car with all the helmet and a blue armband and Bermuda shorts.
you know.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you did the right thing, sir. You did the right thing.
Yes, sir.
And they are a some kind of a posse, a citizens this or that, a bunch of clowns. And you did the right thing by getting them out of there.
This guy, get out of here, you freak. Guy snuck up back behind me and tried to pull my T-shirt up over my head like the guy in the TV commercial. You ever see that?
Yeah.
That's what this guy just done.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? No, he didn't get me. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Ralph said he did.
No, he did not get me. Dude, does my T-shirt look like it's over my head?
You might have pulled it down.
No, no, no way. See, this is the humiliation. And
what happened?
Nothing happened. He claims...
Yeah, Ralph pulled it right over his head.
He did not pull my T-shirt over my head. If he did, you'd see me with my T-shirt over my head.
Hey, Ralph, did you do it?
Ralph said he did.
Okay, you know what? Get them out of there.
Get out of here. Mr. Henry said to get out of here.
He ain't no cop.
He's your cop.
You're not a cop either.
I'm your cop. I'm your cop today. God, you know these guys?
Yeah, oh, no, I do not know them. I know Jay Santos.
That big dog, that ape came up, tried to pull my T-shirt over my head. And then Santos is going, hey, hey, we did it. I go, look, you see a T-shirt over my head? No, you didn't.
Well, that's kind of a petty argument, isn't it?
No, no. What do you mean, petty? He said he...
Okay, never mind. So are they gone?
Yeah, they're getting in their cars now. They're taking their time. Look at them smoking cigarettes.
You're up dead.
Yeah, you guys get out of here before the police come. They lit up a bunch of cigarettes. Now they're playing grab.
What's going on?
They're playing grab ass.
You know, Jay, if you're listening, I suggest you get in your cars and get the hell out of there, okay?
Yeah, they're running around in the parking lot grabbing each other's ass. They're purposely trying to, you know, make me angry, and they're purposely trying to take their time.
Well, then the cops are going to throw them in jail. Thank you very, very much, Bill, this evening, and so sorry for your trouble.
That's all right, sir.
And it's good talking with you, and I'm glad you run a responsible range there.
As well as they run the most responsible range, yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much. That's Bill there from the River Club, and Jay Santos and his... Did you hear those guys?
Yeah, that guy, I would never let him back there.
Unbelievable. Now they're up in the parking lot playing grab ass. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every, every night from 10 to 1 on the West Coast, 1 to 4 on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Welcome to our program. And tonight we're going to have Reverend Dave Castorini on to discuss what he calls the continued secular influence on our young people vis-a-vis these questions regarding evolution. We're going to be talking to him about that. And we also have some stories on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and rehab visits. So we're probably going to have Margaret Gray or Bobby Dooley in to talk about that one this evening. We want to remind you that we're online at philhenryshow.com on Phil TV and HD. And we're going to start doing our football Sundays again. That will be the late game on Sunday. So if you join us on Phil TV and HD on Sundays for probably either the second game or for the evening game, and we'll let you know on the website. And then Bobby Dooley's blog, is that right, bud?
Yeah, she's going to start the Bobby Dooley blog, going to be daily.
Okay, so the Bobby Dooley blog is also daily at philhenryshow.com. So a lot of stuff going on over there. And you need a backstage pass, but once you get the backstage pass, well, then you can say you have the backstage pass, you know. And
yeah, you can be a
feels good.
Feels good to have one. Thank you, Robert. And even better than it feeling good, it actually does something. You can access our archives and our videocast and so forth. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Reverend Dave Castorini is joining us from Phoenix, Arizona this evening. And first of all, Dave, how are you tonight?
Phil, I'm doing really good.
You were in Indianapolis earlier in the week, or earlier last week, talking with the organizers of a new exhibit at the Indianapolis Zoo?
Well, yes. It was a new exhibit that's opening at the Indianapolis Zoo. It's an orangutan exhibit. We spoke to some of the key supporters of this. It's about a $20 million exhibit there in Indianapolis. And there's 4 acres of exhibit space there. It also has... at the heart of this 64-acre property, which is the Indianapolis Zoo, it's an exhibit that will include an all-season atrium. They have 90-foot ceiling, a jungle gym, and it's very friendly, I think, child-friendly, I should say, and family-friendly for people to go and to look at these animals that are fascinating for human beings. And they're not only fascinating for human beings, I think they are a way of sending a message that I think is a destructive message to our young people. And that's why we went to Indianapolis and spoke with some of the people who have been key in making this money available.
Well, you don't think that this exhibit should open. Isn't that the crux of this?
We don't think the exhibit should open in its present state, and I'll tell you why. Phil, our youth ministry, and we have been in existence now for 11 years, and we have ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to some 3 million young people. We feel that we have been instrumental in bringing to Jesus Christ some 2 million of those young people that we have ministered to. We believe that these kinds of exhibits are a secular way to entice our young people away from the basic message of the Bible, which is that God made man in his image. God did not make us in the image of an animal. He made us in the image of God Almighty. We are the reflection of the eternal. And this exhibit, like so many others, we were in San Diego when they opened the gorilla exhibit that they had, is a very insidious way of getting young people especially to accept the message of so-called evolution.
All right, so this is at the very crux of this.
I don't think there's anything. We're not trying to hide anything here, Phil.
No, I know that, but this is at the very crux of your opposition to this orangutan exhibit. And again, you mentioned that this is not the first all over America, all over the world. Zoos feature exhibits, primate exhibits, that are very popular with human beings because the primate often, the primate animal is so reflective of our own behavior, at least physical.
Well, and I think that is the alluring part of this, and I think it's the reason why there is so much fascination. They are, in their own way, the primates, these orangutans, or gorillas, chimpanzees, they are, as animals, pretty close in terms of mannerism, physical mannerism. They have a way of mimicking human behavior, of looking at humans and then turning that around and entertaining us, much the same way a parakeet will hear a human voice and then repeat what the human says or a minor bird. I can remember going into my very first dentist when I was a little boy growing up in Scottsdale, Arizona. My mother would take me to a dentist and had a minor bird in the office, and this minor bird was so accurate in how this bird mimicked the human voice. He mimicked the voice of the receptionist, and it was so funny because I would hear the receptionist's voice, and of course I would get up and think that it was time for me to go in to see the doctor or think she was saying something. It was actually the minor bird.
And well, you're I think you may be, well, I don't, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I think you might be misapplying that to chimpanzees. I don't think that they're mimicking humans. I think that's their basic mannerism.
Well, I think what you have to do, Phil, is open your mind a little bit. I think you've been told a lot of things by science because science wants you to believe that this is organic to the chimpanzee and that somehow one can imagine human beings at one time looking like a chimpanzee, looking like an orangutan, and behaving like them, because look at how they behave now, so obviously. And I don't think that we've given enough thought to the what I think is a very much more likely scenario, that they mimic what they see. So
in other words, the chimpanzee is much more like a parrot, a minor bird, some of these animals that you say mimic the qualities of human voice, for instance. A chimpanzee or an orangutan, in this case, mimics human behavior. And you're saying we're told it's organic because the evolutionists, you know.
Well, exactly. I think that we've gone so far away from God's message, and that we have allowed God's message to be polluted with a kind of science babble. So people will say, oh, look at the chimpanzee, the orangutan. Look at how they behave. They look so human. And, of course, my response is, of course they look human. They're mimicking the behavior of the humans that are standing there outside. For instance, the exhibit area could be a zoo. It could be some kind of a primate exhibit area. They're mimicking the behavior of people. And why are they doing that? So a human will throw them a peanut or throw them a banana or something like this. So when we go, Phil, and I talked to some of the supporters of the Indianapolis Zoo or the orangutan exhibit there, and also the Washington, D.C., the National Zoo had opened up a primate house some 6-7 years ago. We were there protesting that. And
What are you saying when you protest? Are you saying don't open up these, you don't want these?
We don't want these exhibits unless the true story of the primate is told to humans, because we're told, every time one of these exhibits opens up, the message is the same. Do you see man's connection to this animal? Do you see that we did evolve from an animal like this? We did evolve. We did not come from God directly in the Garden of Eden, as the Bible tells us. We did not come from Adam and Eve, as the Bible tells us. We evolved from these apes. Do you see that is the case here? And all over America, I think that message is the same.
Well, are you talking about a conspiracy here? Are you talking about...
Well, it's not a conspiracy. I think it's just the way that these scientists think. I think it's their way, especially when you get a lot of the schools and the field trips, and they bring the kids. And I know that the Indianapolis Public Schools are planning a great many field trips to the new zoo. To see this orangutan exhibit. Obviously, it's a big event. It's a $20 million project. It's a large exhibit.
That stands to reason that you're going to bring the kids to see this. It's part of their science.
Well, it's part of their indoctrination into evolution. That's the part that we don't like. And
Reverend Pastorini, that evolution is taught in schools. And by the way, we're talking to...
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on. We're talking to... We're talking to Reverend David Castorini of the Castorini Youth Ministries about the new orangutan exhibit at the Indianapolis Zoo and how he feels this is the insidious way that the secularists get kids to believe in evolution. You know that evolution is taught at high schools, it's taught in public schools, it's taught as science in our universities.
No, I'm aware of all of that.
Okay, so it's not like nobody is trying to sneak it in. You know.
No, they're not trying to sneak it in, but what they're doing is outside of the classroom, outside of the public school, outside of the public arena of education, and beyond the reach of their parents, these kids are getting the evolution message hammered home almost not on a daily basis, perhaps, but every chance they get. So that by the time a young person reaches high school or reaches college, they're not only believers in the theory of evolution, they've lost some of their belief in the spark of God and man. And
you really think so? You think so? In other words, if a devout Christian who believes in what you believe, the story of Eden, creationism, however you want to put it.
Well, yes, we do believe that. We believe that God in every man is the spark of God. That began in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, all right, fine. That a devout Christian can believe that and still at the same time understand the theories, if you wish, of evolution, how it is understood, so that they can get a degree in science. Because if they don't grasp these things, they're not going to be graduating with any kind of science degree.
Phil, I know a great many biologists that are creationists, okay?
I'm sure that you do, and in fact, I know a couple, but they recognize they have to understand certain science that's taught.
Well, I don't think that's true. I don't know what you mean by science. It's a theory, and we believe that you can be a valid biologist, you can be a valid zoologist, you can be an animal behaviorist, and still believe in creationism. You don't have to believe. You can believe that man came from the Garden of Eden after Eve ate the apple from the snake, and they had lots and lots of kids from only the two of them, and there was incest. There had to have been. You can believe all of that and still get a degree in science. So what we think is happening right now is the kids are being once again indoctrinated into evolution by going to these monkey exhibits and these orangutan exhibits. We think it's wrong. We think it's destructive, and we want to see it curtailed a bit or scaled back just a bit.
All right, David Castorini is with us from the Castorini Youth Ministries in Phoenix, Arizona. His concern is this, and this is opening this week. It's in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's the new orangutan exhibit there, a $20 million 4-acre exhibit that he feels is one more attempt by secularists to convince young kids evolution is the actual reality of life, and that actually these primate houses and these monkey exhibits are the secularists' attempt at showing just how closely connected to these apes we are. That there's just, that's what the message is when you go to the zoo. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. And we'll be back with more from Reverend David Castorini here on the secular message of these orangutan exhibits here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, along with David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries. And we're talking about the primate houses. I guess we could talk about any zoo that has a primate house, David, you know?
But it depends, Phil, on the amount of... You see, it depends on the amount of publicity. It depends on how... what kind of a push is on? What is the relationship between that zoo, between that wild animal park, between that animal rescue or shelter or what have you? What is their relationship between the themselves and the scientific community? Some zoos have primate houses the same way they have an elephant exhibit or a lion exhibit or wild birds. But some places have a primate exhibit that is front and center, and you know there is something going on. You know that there is some effort on the part of the scientific community to break through some kind of resistance they're having from the schools as to belief in evolution. And I think that's what's going on in Indianapolis.
Why?
I think Indianapolis has a very well-developed religious community. I think the even in the public schools, it's very well understood that very devoutly Christian families send their children to these public schools in Indianapolis. I think that Indianapolis is unique in that while it does have very good public schools and it has a very good public infrastructure in terms of education and science, they influence their children religiously much, much more than other communities. And so the scientific community of Indianapolis has decided to just go take an orangutan and put that orangutan front and center in front of a kid and say, this is what you used to be. Doesn't matter what Jesus said. Doesn't matter what the Bible said.
And yeah, but you're inferring that from simply an exhibit at a zoo. You're inferring that from...
No, I'm inferring that from a $20 million orangutan exhibit that takes a primate and sticks it right in the face of an Indianapolis school child and says, take a good long look, because that's what you are. That's what I'm inferring, and I think I'm right.
I'm trying to, I'm going through this in my head. I mean, I think you really have to, other than the fact that they've opened up the primate house, I think you would have to have some evidence.
Oh, I thought the evidence, Phil, is all around us in that, again, I told you, Indianapolis is a very fundamentally sound religious community, protecting their children even in the face of the public schools. And so the scientific community in Indianapolis, it grates on their nerves. They can't take it any longer. They've got to find themselves an orangutan or a gorilla or something that they can park right in front of a kid and scare that child half to death, telling him, you were an ape. You were an ape. Now repeat after me. I was an ape. I think it's wrong. I think it's destructive. And we're trying to save the school children of Indianapolis and from this happening elsewhere.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is that the message of these zoos, especially these zoos that have these primate houses? Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm actually from Indianapolis, and
yes,
I'm, I'm also a devout Christian myself. Any zoo I've ever been to, primate-wise, I have never, not once, read or been, you know, been talked to or said to, this is what you were, this is what you are. I've never received that message whatsoever. Like I said,
Can I ask the young man what his name is, Phil? I did not get this young man's name.
I apologize. I got it and I forgot. What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
It's Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, this is Pastor Castorini. How are you?
Good, you?
I'm very good, thank you. Andrew, when you look... If you've been to a primate house, you've been to the zoos, and you've looked at these monkeys, when you look at that monkey, do you feel as if you're looking into your past? Do you feel as if you've been coerced into enjoying that ape because that ape, they want you to think, was you?
Not at all.
Yes. Not at all?
No.
Well, how many times have you... Well, when you go to a zoo, how many times have you been to a zoo?
Plenty of times.
All right. And you don't go, you go to the ape house, don't you? You go to the primate house, don't you?
Sure.
Okay. The reason we do is because that animal is interesting to look at. And the reason why it's interesting to look at is because it has human mannerisms. You're told that it has human mannerisms because that's the way it was created. But it's really just a mimic trying to suck you in. You see?
Well, I mean, I also look at the sharks and the polar bears.
Well, yeah, but a shark doesn't cross its leg. Yeah, but a shark doesn't scratch its armpits and all the things that a monkey does. So when you look at that monkey, you can't help but say, it looks like me. Or it behaves like me.
Right, but what this young man is saying, while all of that may be true, he doesn't feel as if that's what he used to be.
Well, I have a hard time believing that when you look at a monkey scratching its armpits and you don't think that's something that you might have done 5 million years ago looking like that. That's my point.
All right, Andrew, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
At least I think, I hope I didn't look like that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we go places on Phil TV and HD. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch us tonight on our high-definition video cast, as well as listen to the show this evening on your local Phil Hendry Show affiliate. Now, one other thing I wanted to mention to you. In our shop at philhendryshow.com, we have downloads now of our Best of 1994 CD. This is from Miami. This is, we're talking 17 years ago, so some rare stuff there, and you can download the whole CD, or you can download individual cuts, so head over there and grab that. All right, on the line with me, David Castorini. We've got this gentleman, Andrew, calling back, David, with a question. I apologize to him beforehand, Andrew. I couldn't quite formulate your question. David, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, Andrew?
Yes.
Go ahead and ask your question, sir.
Okay, my question to you, sir, is, you know, you're asking me if when I look at an orangutan or a monkey of whatever sort,
yes, that's correct.
Do I feel that that's what I used to be?
Or my used question, to look like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My question to you is, do you feel that's what you used to look like?
I think it's a great question. It's a great question, Andrew. I think the secularists are trying to entice us into believing, because that ape that we're looking at, that monkey or what have you, is scratching itself, it's crossing its legs, it's doing all these very human things. I think the secularist is trying to entice us into believing that at one time, you know, Andrew and David Castorini, that's what we were. We were who we are, but we looked like an ape. And when you ask me the question, do I feel I look like that? I believe in Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel and in God the Father. I believe in I believe in God's word when he tells us of the Garden of Eden in Genesis. I believe all of that. But I can feel the tug of that ape. You see?
What do you mean the tug of the ape? What is that?
Well, I can feel the... I see what the allure of the secularist message is. And it's this, that we can still be God's children and look like a baboon. I find that degrading. And yet people are enticed. They are seduced by that message. So to answer your question, there are days when I'm at my lowest, when I feel so disconnected from God, that yes, I do. I go to the zoo, I look at a monkey, and I say, I might as well be that. Sure, I'll buy it. I look like that.
That's an interesting answer. Andrew, did that give you the answer? Does that help you?
Well, you know, Phil, it's an interesting answer. It's a human answer. It's a human answer.
It's a, yeah, I don't know that I've ever...
I was just saying, you know, if he didn't feel that way, I was just wondering how he could think that everybody else would feel that way. Because like I said, I'm a devout Christian myself. And when I look at an ape or a baboon, no, I don't feel that I ever was that or that I do look like that. Like he said earlier, you know, they are mimicking our mannerisms. They are animals.
Do you ever feel that so low that when you go to the zoo, an ape is superior to you? You feel, you know what, I might as well take orders from that ape for all the good it's done me, for all the good life's done me. Do you ever feel that bad?
No,
that's what I'm talking about, the seduction.
Well, I mean, depression, I understand that.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So you feel, Andrew, so bad some days, you go to the zoo to try to cheer yourself up, to say, well, at least I'm superior to some stinking baboon, but I feel so bad today, that baboon might as well be, you know, reading me the riot act. Do you ever feel that way?
No, honestly, I don't. I think you're not necessarily getting confused here, but I mean, they're, like I said, it's an animal, and God puts man in control of animal.
And that's right there. That's a wonderful point you just made, because right there, can you imagine how low a man's got to get to feel that he no longer has control over an animal, that the animal might as well be hiring, firing, and running, CEO?
Well, okay, I can imagine depression. Are you saying depression in the Christian religion is the devil?
No, yes, but the devil is the theory of evolution. And to believe in evolution is to see an ape and say, that ape is, he's got it all over me. Everything that ape is, I'm not. And it's better than me.
In the theory of evolution, then, where did the ape come from?
Well, in the theory of evolution, see, what I'm saying is, we came from an ape-like creature. That ape today comes from a different line of hominids. You have to understand what it is the secularists are trying to feed you. They're trying to feed us a whole fancy dance, you know.
All right. So, Andrew, I don't know that I understand, but if you do.
No, he understands. You don't, Phil, because you're a secularist.
Because I'm a secularist, I don't understand. I understand what you mean by depression. Andrew, does that answer your question for you?
For the most part, yes.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over to Travis. Hello, Travis. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Pastor Castorini.
Hey, how's it
going? I answered his question.
Very good, sir. I think you answered his question.
I could hear a little bit of confusion in his voice. I hope that I was able to help him.
Travis, go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, as far as the primate, monkey, ape, what have you family, humans are most closest to the chimpanzees. As far as where your DNA comes in, yeah, it is. I guess you could say they mimic us, but
they do.
We are close to the chimpanzee. You know, like I said, as far as DNA.
Well, I understand that, sir. I mean, that's very interesting. I mean, we can get into discussions of the DNA similarity. But what I'm trying to tell you is, any primate conjures in the heart of man a need to feel connected to that creature, because even if it's not a chimpanzee, if it's a baboon, an orangutan, a gorilla, any of these other lemur, monkey, this kind of thing, they all have human behavior. They have five digits. They scratch themselves. You could almost, you know what I mean? There you go. You can almost imagine one of them lighting up a cigarette and sitting there and relaxing. With, you know, that's how human they look.
They do that every day, right?
Well, exactly. So when you see one, as I have, when the devil has my soul, I want to say, I wish that ape ran my life, because I'm so lost. I'm lower than an ape. I'm lower than that monkey.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I mean, I'm sorry that you.
Have you never felt that way? Have you never felt that way? Have you never?
Humans have a strong, strong bond with animals. I mean, that's just one thing with animals and humans. Like, that is one thing about humans. They have a connection with other animals, some more than others.
Well, of course.
Now,
we've domesticated, but.
Excuse me for saying this. I remember when I went to the zoo on a field trip, and it may have been 6th grade or 5th grade. There was it's the baboon, I think, the one that's got the big blue red butt.
The big blue butt. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was too young to know about this at the time, but this monkey was sitting here. Excuse me, but was masturbating in front of the glass.
See, that's
a bunch of kids.
Well, now, that's the same thing that humans do.
I don't tend to sit in front of a group of people and, you know, do my thing.
No, you don't. But there are perverted human beings that do that. And when we see a baboon do that in front of school kids, there's a dark part of us that recognizes ourselves. And
what are you talking about now?
Phil, I'm talking to this gentleman here. Okay? And
I know you're talking to the gentleman, but what do you mean when a baboon masturbates in front of children, we recognize ourselves?
We see the pervert in ourselves. Okay? See, the secularist is trying to get us to believe in evolution. And so when a baboon sits there and masturbates in front of kids, you have that feeling in yourself like, boy, that could be me.
No, I have never felt that way.
Yeah, no.
No.
Well, I'm not saying we've done it. No, Travis, I'm not saying, Phil, I'm not saying we've done it. I'm saying that could be me.
No, that could not be me. No.
I think that's human arrogance.
No, Pastor, that's not human arrogance. No, that can't be me. I don't identify with that.
Well, all right. Okay, fine.
Well, that's
opinion. Yeah, that's true.
On to one more thing. I'd like to bring this up.
Well, I mean, when you saw that baboon masturbate in front of those kids, what did you think about the baboon? Did you want to kill it?
No.
Or did you say to yourself, my God, that's me?
No, by far did I say, my God, that's me. I mean,
you did not.
The monkey doesn't know any better. It's not like, you know, he actually knows what he's doing.
Right. Apes are dead. They have no constraint. Yeah, but there's no constraint there. Yeah. Listen, Travis, great call. Thank you very much, sir. Good point about the DNA, the chimpanzee, and so forth. Thank you, sir, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
I want to say one thing about DNA. They have brought this DNA question into a lot of scientific discussions because we are all fascinated with DNA now. We are in love with DNA. DNA has solved crimes. DNA is able to identify people. We are very much into DNA. We love it. And so why not drop that DNA argument into the chimpanzee reality and say, oh, and one other thing, Mr. and Mrs. Human Being, the chimp and the human, well, we've got the same DNA. We might as well be brother and sister. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine telling human beings? And they're doing it. The secularists are doing it, Phil. They're telling us that the chimpanzee is like a cousin or a nephew.
No, the DNA, they're talking about in terms of the animal kingdom, you know, the connection between different lines of animal. I mean, they found connection between, for instance, the sea lion and wolves.
I don't know what you're talking about there. I'm talking about...
I'm talking about the strands of DNA that connects different species. I mean, this is the marvelous thing about DNA that's teaching us. It's taking us almost all the way back to... the creation.
And and I've got a lot to say about that, too, because I think that is just black. I think that is black. That is as black as the devil. That is as black.
You think knowledge is as black as the devil?
When it takes us back to the secret of creation, yes, I do.
All right, take a break here. There's a good point to take a break on. When it takes us back to creation, knowledge is blackness. 877-876-PHIL. Pastor David Castorini on the line from the Castorini Youth Ministries. And your phone call is coming up at 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know what I mean, if I let a monkey do that.
Hold on for just a second here. On the line with me is Reverend David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries. We talk about this all began as a discussion of the Indianapolis Zoo's new orangutan exhibit opening, a $20 million four-acre orangutan exhibit set to open in 2014. And you were in Indianapolis, Reverend Castorini, talking, as you say, to some of the main supporters. You don't want this to open.
We don't want it to open, Phil, in the way they want to open. It's due to open in 2014. We want to keep children as far away from it as we possibly can. I have to be honest with you. I understand that they want to do this, and I guess they're going to do what they want to do. But the very clear secular message of this orangutan expose, this orangutan exhibit, is to get as many school kids to look at it and get the message right away, real clear, and completely unclouded. We're monkeys. We used to be that right there. You're a monkey. I'm a monkey. And that's what we are. And God's message about the Garden of Eden is a big joke. And let's just all go and check out our cousins, the monkeys. Now, that one gentleman who said the DNA of the chimpanzee is like humans, that is just about as wild a thing as I've ever heard, because now I'm supposed to look at a chimpanzee and I got to think of this thing as some kind of a blood brother.
I don't think that's it. I mean, you're looking at it completely wrong. You know,
well, what else is DNA but a connection in terms of relation?
No, but you're looking at it. There is a DNA connection between ourselves and monkeys that is more of a sort of a scientific underpinning of species to species. It's not that the thing is our brother or our cousin.
No, I understand that, Phil. But the average person thinks that, and that's the message that keeps getting pounded into the heads of our young people. Not the message of the Garden of Eden. Not the message of God in Genesis, creating the world, creating man, and creating woman in his image. Not the message of, woman was created not only in God's image, she was created in man's image. So that's been lost. We've got man, we have God, we have man, and then we have, in many ways, kind of a subset, the female, who is the connection between man and the animal world. And that's the other part that has not been...
Well, I don't understand that one. You know.
Well, that, see, that's the other...
All right, well, hold on. Let me get to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bill on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor Castorina. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
I'm kind of confused the way this pastor's talking. It's like one way he's talking that he agrees that we came from monkeys, and then he turns
around
and talks, you know, like we're in the image of God. You know, there's only one way that we came, and that was in the image of God. It's in the Bible.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I don't mean to say that
we... The way you were talking to the gentleman earlier, that when you get low and down and the devil's got your soul, you feel like a monkey, or a monkey should rule you. You know, first off, being
don't
a
you
pastor,
think...
you shouldn't be you shouldn't be talking like that.
Well, no, sir. I'm saying I always return to God. I always return to Jesus. I always return to the gospel. I'm never lost from the gospel. And I do that. When I am feeling down, I think God...
Is you're putting it out as the devil's got your soul, you feel so low that a monkey rules you. Okay, first off, being a pastor, you shouldn't be saying that, you know, the devil's got your soul, because once you go towards God and accept God in your soul, the devil can't have you unless you give it
That's
up.
That. You're absolutely right, sir. If I led you to believe that God has lost his grip on my soul, I misspoke. What I meant to say was, when the devil, and there are days, you know, even in the life of Jesus, there are days when the devil stands and the devil tempts. We know this. That's why we say the Lord's Prayer. But on those days, I feel almost as if I would just rather give the keys of the car to an ape. I mean, literally. And that scares me, that I would literally turn the keys of my automobile over to a chimp or a baboon. And that's when I know I need God.
Well, for you,
well wait a minute.
Pastor,
wait a...
You shouldn't be feeling that low. You know, even though the devil oppresses you.
Yes.
You make it sound like he took your soul, and you feel you're as low as lower than a monkey. You know, that's what I heard from you when you was talking to the gentleman. I think his name is Arthur.
Yes, sir. That's true. Yes, I do. But I'm never so low. I never stay in that sub-8 category for long. I'm able to rise up and take God's hand again. You might say I'm not even dancing with the devil. I'm just dancing with the notion that I'd like to just give up on being human and let an ape call the shots in my life. That's low. Well, you're laughing at me.
Pastor, are scaring me. Yeah, I've been raised in churches since I was 14 years old, and I've never heard a pastor talk as low as you have.
No, sir, are you saying that pastors don't get depressed? Of course they do. And as we know from the Bible, some of God's most beloved prophets were tempted by the demon, and the Lord himself was. And so I don't feel, sir, that that's so much the sin as it's giving in to it, you see. There are days when I look at a chimp, and I think that chimp has everything I don't have. It's got it all. It's got it all and more.
Well, if you look at a chimp, are you saying, do you think the chimp has a soul?
There are some days I get so black in my own heart that I think that chimp is closer to Jesus than I am.
Wow.
Well,
that's just... Wow.
Mr. Phil, I'm not going to get in a religious argument with the pastor.
I don't want to argue. I'm just saying, sir. No, I don't want to argue. There are days when I think that the monkey has more of God going on than I ever will.
I don't understand that because... You know, I used to be in the church. I haven't been in the church because of my job right now.
Okay.
But I don't
feel so low that a monkey can rule over me and all that I am, and that an ape
I might as well give the Bible to him and let him do the homily.
Phil Hendry.